The United Nations General Assembly is meeting this week in New York, and an item on the agenda, the hundreds of thousands of Rohingya refugees currently fleeing Myanmar. The Nobel Prize winner and de facto leader of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi, did not attend the General Assembly this week, but she had this to say on Tuesday, speaking in Myanmar.
I understand that many of our friends throughout the world are concerned by reports of villages being burned and of hordes of refugees fleeing. There have been allegations and counter-allegations, and we have to listen to all of them.
Here with me now is Eric Schwartz, president of Refugees International and former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees, and Migration. Eric Schwartz, welcome.
Thank you.
And you've just returned from the border area between Myanmar and Bangladesh this week. Eric Schwartz, that statement from Aung San Suu Kyi sounded like she was recognizing both sides of the conflict here between the Burmese army and the Rohingya Muslims. Is that what she's doing?
Well, I think tragically her statement put her in the position of being an apologist for the really awful actions of the government. She never mentioned credible reports of crimes against humanity, of atrocities committed by the Burmese military. At the same time, she made statements like denying the fact, or saying that there was no discrimination against the Muslim community in areas of like health services, education. So I think it was a very unfortunate address. I think governments of the world need to take those elements of the address in which there was some acknowledgement of a problem and try to leverage that to get some action by the Burmese government. But I think I was very disappointed by that speech.
Well, the United Nations just 10 days ago called this a textbook example of ethnic cleansing. Pretty strong words. That timing seems right for General Assembly action this week. Is any action like that coming from the General Assembly? What steps could they take?
I don't think we can expect a very strong action. You say the United Nations said that. It was the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights who said that, and God love him for saying that. But that doesn't necessarily reflect the position of all the UN member states. Much stronger action is needed. From the United States, for example, President Trump gave an address before the UN General Assembly, and he did talk about human rights in Cuba, in Venezuela, but he avoided talking about what may be one of the gravest cases of human rights abuses and crimes against humanity, one of the gravest cases in our generation. And how he could talk about human rights and not talk about this issue is just baffling to me. He should have talked about this issue. He should have said that we're going to be sending a high-level envoy to the region. Secretary Tillerson should be far more vocal on this issue. We should announce that we're going to prohibit any military-to-military cooperation until those who are guilty of these terrible abuses are held accountable. We should be reimposing sanctions that have been lifted by the United States, and we should be urging multilateral action at the United Nations, none of which is happening right now. And it is a tragedy given the gravity of the circumstances on the ground. The stories we heard were just heart-rending. It was one of the most I've been doing this work for about 30 years, and I don't remember ever getting choked up on one of these missions, but until this mission.
Give me an example, if you would.
Well, I'll tell you one that I just can't get out of my head. You know, we were in a hospital, and we visited a woman who was with her 17-year-old daughter who was just lying there. And they spoke elliptically about the fact that this girl was tied up by several members of the military when they attacked their village, and now she was feeling real pain in her midsection. And I thought about my two daughters. And I looked at the vacant expression in the young girl's eyes and the look of the distraught and angry look on the part of her mother, and standing there and not being in a position to say to them, you know, things will get better. was one of the most difficult experiences I've ever had on one of these missions. But also the stories, story after story, report after report, all the people where we were talking to, a consistent story, a consistent narrative of villages being surrounded, incendiary devices being sent into the village, fire, people fleeing, and then people being shot at as they sought to flee these villages. Story after story after story. And that the international community is not standing up and saying this must stop, I think is such an awful shame, such a stain on humanity, and also demonstrates that when the United States of America is not prepared to lead on these kinds of issues, then others aren't going to step forward. And so that's the effort has to be both to push the international community, but also to push the United States of America.
Eric Schwartz, there has been some action from the United States this week and over the last couple of weeks. There was an aid package for Rohingya Muslims announced by the State Department, and the Senate dialed back on some of the military-to-military cooperation between Myanmar and the United States that you mentioned. But is the United States missing an opportunity here to help a beleaguered group of Muslims? If the United States did more, wouldn't that help our image in other parts of the world?
Absolutely. And for one thing we can and must do is we must articulate our strong support for the government of Bangladesh, which thus far has demonstrated a willingness to be on the right side of history. And we should continue to provide assistance. But yes, in terms of the specifics of your question, absolutely. We need, the United States of America has to demonstrate that we stand up for victims of oppression, whether they are Muslim, whether they are Christian, whether they are Hindu, it doesn't matter. And this crisis provides us with that opportunity. But more importantly, from my perspective, it provides us with that obligation.
Eric Schwartz, I want to thank you for joining us.
And thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here.
Eric Schwartz is president of Refugees International and a former assistant secretary at the State Department.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.